Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started today, I want to tell you about Green Mountain Dental Group. Guys, this is the best damn family-owned Colorado local dentist office in all of the state. You know how big I am on buying local, supporting local. This is especially true of dentists. You know, you've got those big corporations out there. They shuffle through dentists. You have one guy the first time. You got a new gal the second time. It's always different. You don't have any familiarity. You don't even know. Do they have your best interest at heart? Green Mountain Dental, you don't have to worry about that. Family owned. You're going to get to know them. They're going to get to know you. They're going to give you the best treatment. And right now, their special deal. You know this. We've been telling you about it for years. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. You receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. And tweet at us when you go there. There's nothing better than when I find out that I have personally pointed someone to buy local, to go to somebody in the DNVR family and DNVR community, and then has a great experience. And we love hearing that type of feedback. So if you go, show us your Sonicare toothbrush. Let us know what you have. What you found out. Only 15 minutes from downtown Denver, so very centrally located, and they're just absolutely great. Remember, get a cleaning x-ray exam at Green Mountain Dental Group, and you receive a free Sonicare toothbrush.
Oh, we can't hear it, but I know it's going. I know the music, damn it.
At least I think it is.
I can't quite feel it, but I'm trying to feel it.
I feel it.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Winner's Lounge.
Bye, 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 bye.
Big time Winner's Lounge. The feel is the goodest Winner's Lounge of the entire season by far.
Dude, the feels right now. The feels are the goodest.
The vibes on 100, as they say. I'm your host, Adam Mattis, joined by my esteemed colleague. Seated over here to my right, your left, it's Duvalier Superstar Dev. We're going streaking.
Take it off, baby.
All the way to the quad through the gymnasium. Over here, the Giggler, D-Line Coach.
That felt a little...
Did I bring that down?
I felt a little insulting. Let's freaking go, baby. I'm back already.
Let's keep it moving and get over there. In a second, we're going to be joined by none other than the man with the wind in his hair, Harrison Wendy. Right now, at this very moment, speaking to Michael Malone, congratulating him on a mega munder.
Mega munder, baby.
A mega munder.
It's a munder.
It's a munder.
It's a mega munder, dude. Under 90.
Under 90. That's a mega munder, man.
Mega munder.
It doesn't happen with the Nuggets.
It happens tonight, baby. Oh, it happens.
We're in good from all state. Oh, he's right.
Horny. They're trying.
Yeah. That's too funny. All right, we got a lot to get to today, and guess what? It's all positive.
Yo.
Like, the only negative thing we have to get to is there's some foul trouble maybe that we'll get to, but outside that minor little thing, we have nothing but great things to get to, and I don't even know where we have to start. Dev, where do you want to start?
Let's start with that bench unit.
That bench unit.
That's what the everything. Everything was the bench unit.
So true.
When the bench plays well, the wins come in. You start to be happy. We get to go in the winner's lounge whenever the bench plays well.
So if we look at the plus minuses tonight, Monte Morris plus 26. Wow. Michael Green plus 24. Wow. Then you get Campazzo plus 16. You get Hartenstein plus 15. Now, and then you get plus 17 from Dozier. So, of course, single game plus minus doesn't. You know, it's finicky. But one thing it tells you is when you're on the court, are you winning or losing? The bench tonight didn't just win. They dominated their minutes. And to me, you're right, man. That is the story. We've talked about, you know, Gary Harris, who, by the way, is maybe out of his slump. Will Barton, we've talked about him. And is he healthy? This or that. Michael Porter getting him integrated. Murray. But those guys have been good. I put the stat out the other day. Like, they haven't been their standard. They haven't been as great, in large part, defensively. But they've been good. Thank you so much, superstar producer, super producer Kale. So, but they've been good enough for you to not be the terrible record with 3-5 or whatever it was they were. Tonight, though, it was all about if you just get the bench to be a zero or even a little positive, then they're going to win in blowout fashion, and that's what happened tonight. Yeah,
or if you get them to be at a plus 26, then you win.
That would also work.
You won with the Mega Munder, and you go to town.
Well, that's the thing about it also. You're not asking the bench to be amazing. You're not asking the bench to go out and win every game. You just want them to maintain while your starters are out. So maybe it's a minus two. Maybe it's a plus. Yeah. Maybe it's just being there. Like, but if you get the bench to do something. Also, when you look at the plus minus, the best plus minus came from the bench. That lets you know that the bench was the ones that carried the load. That tells you you didn't need the starters tonight. You say that the plus minus is finicky at times, but if the bench is the one that's leading it, it lets you know what the game went like. It was a game that you go with the start. I mean, you sit the starters. Amazing.
So coming into tonight, and here's the fundamental question that I have that is so interesting about this bench unit. They had not earned Malone's trust, but Malone had not given them trust.
Ooh.
And so it begs the question of, and actually I want to ask you this, Dev. I know you've played with a lot of coaches. You know, when a coach believes in you, it's easier to believe in yourself. And sometimes it's hard to know. This is such a chicken and an egg thing. Like, where does it come from? And I think that Michael Malone has very loudly not trust the bench. And I feel like the bench has very loudly not given him a reason to trust him. I felt like with his pregame comments tonight, he was basically saying, I have to trust them. Like, it's he took a little responsibility saying, I haven't. And I think it's perhaps not a coincidence that tonight, after saying we're sticking with them, whether it works or doesn't work, we're going to stick with them, that they end up playing their best.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be all sports. It could be your everyday life. Like, if you have a boss that they're positive, they're
like
nice
an insult
to you,
is coming up to me, like, really quick.
He has this look in his eye. I'm not going to come back to you. But when you have a boss that really, like, is on you and they believe in you, even if you do make a mistake, you're like, okay, I'll play harder, I'll try harder next time, it won't happen. But when you're under that immense pressure, you're gonna make these mistakes, and then that mistake becomes more. You're just like, yeah, I don't want to do it again, or I'm gonna be a different person because I have to be what he wants me to be. If I'm not that, then we don't know if I'm gonna play today. We don't know if I'm gonna be here anymore. So it's just like not having the pressure on it, and now they're playing looser, and now you're starting to see the Nuggets rack up those wins. He has no choice but to go with them.
Racking them up, baby.
And that's the only way that they're going to win is if the bench unit does well. So he's finally trusting in them, and now they're proving that they can do something well. So it goes hand in hand.
But the only thing I'll say about that. Hold on.
Is this the king of the game? Are we going king of the game? Is that what you threw him?
The one thing I will say, though, is that coming into the season, vibes were on 1 million. Like the bench had all of our trust. We proclaimed loudly to anybody that would hear or read anything that every player on the Nuggets was good.
That was my favorite headline that we had. We were feeling so good.
Every player on the Nuggets is good. And then the season started, and then they were not good.
Yeah.
Things changed tonight. Like, I do understand the chicken and the egg thing, but I feel like the egg hatched in the preseason, and then the chicken died as soon as the season started. And they're like, at a certain point, like the bench, like these guys just need to step up and play like they did tonight. It wasn't just like, I mean, I don't think it was like just a fear thing. I think it was just more of a confusion thing.
Yeah. I think it was an everything thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have a question for you though, Eric, because I know you've played sports too. Like, when a coach doesn't have confidence in you, or like when you have the quick hook, like you go out there, you make a mistake, I'm pulling you out. I've had coaches like this. I've had plenty.
Yeah.
It's just like the worst feeling in the world. It's almost impossible to have confidence when you're just like, I know, like he's just looking at me, waiting for me to screw up so he can yell at me again. And I'm not saying I'm not trying to put this on Malone. I'm just trying to show that relationship
is
feeding back into each other.
I agree. It's just, I feel like the bench put Malone in a situation where he was physically unable to trust them. Like, we lost all of our trust in them.
Totally. I
don't know. Like, but you know what? That's old stuff, man. Why are we talking about old stuff?
Why are we bringing up old stuff? Well, actually, speaking of bringing up old stuff, Eric, do you What would you say about the bench? It's on the rise, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think I'm on the record as saying that the bench is most treasured.
Dev, what do you
think?
The bench, it's on the rise, wouldn't you say? The bench. You're feeling pretty confident about the bench?
Huh?
Yeah. Let's cut to all the way 23 hours ago. Hold on a second. Let's see what happened here.
The bench. I'm going to sell the bench.
Oh, no.
I'm going to sell the entire bench, including what they're sitting on, the physical bench.
This guy, I can't believe he sold that. I'm going to sell with him. I'm going to sell with him.
Guys, you're not optimistic about the Nuggets right now.
No, I have to sell with them. Like, I don't know what we thought was good with the bench. Monte Morris is the bright spot of the bench. And it's only one bright spot. It follows him.
You guys, we did stock report. I believe I was a wait and see. I might have even been a buy. I can't remember.
Both you and Harrison were
buy.
On the bench.
Oh, I was definitely a buy.
You were a buy.
Yeah, we were buying. We had some sellers. It's tough, you guys, when you sell a stock and then it immediately skyrockets.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's a tough scene.
So the thing was, that was not me. That was Superstar Kev from Stateport. That was Superstar Kev. Superstar Kev is here now. That was not me.
In your face, commenters.
It was Jake from Austin. It wasn't me.
By your own snake, commenters.
No, but seriously, guys, this was like, we've been waiting for a feel-good win. You know, a feel-good win that also gave us a little bit of confidence in some key players. And tonight, that bench, I mean, just incredible. I'm curious what Michael Malone had to say. And before you get to that, Harrison, you guys notice Harrison snuck in here when you barely even saw. So I want to ask, because before the game, Michael Malone talked about, I have to give those guys confidence or trust. Right. And they have to earn it. And he put that in there. But where do you – that's a chicken and egg thing. And do you think there's been a feedback loop there in that he hasn't given them trust, they haven't earned it, and it's spiraled into this negativity?
Yes, I think that is true. And also, I've got to think, as he sees Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic's minutes continue to pile up, he's like, I probably don't have a choice here. I've got to trust the bench. I've got to get to a point where I'm not playing Jokic and Jamal 35-plus minutes every single night.
Right.
He doesn't really have a choice.
It's necessity
to
now.
To be honest. He doesn't have a choice but to trust the bench.
And he's feeling, I think, Michael Malone feeling the exact same things that we are as we're watching this, as Kale gets ready to pour our, it feels like a punishment shot.
Yeah. These should be called
losers' lounge shots, not winners. But you know what? Whatever. We'll take it.
It's the winners' lounge. You know what?
It's a little one. It's a baby one. No, but, you know, Malone's feeling the same things we are, which is like this panic of, if we can bank a few wins, you know, then we can trust the bench. And what happened was they never banked the wins and then they got this. So I felt like this game, it's great that they played well, but I felt like either way they were going to play that bench a lot of minutes and lean on them. And it's great that they just dominated.
It's huge. It's huge. Two straight games where Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray did not have to play over 30 minutes.
It's crazy.
That's
great.
Great. Like, that will have ramifications. Yeah.
I wish that Jokic would have played like 33 minutes. He missed his points by
his
2 points.
His pick of the week. Our his DraftKings pick of the week.
DraftKings pick of the week got spoiled because Jokic got early yank for being too good.
Yeah. All right, so Harrison, you talked to him after the game. What did he have to say?
So on the bench, he said, lately our bench has been playing at a really high level, which allows us to not have to play our starters a ridiculous amount of minutes, is what he said. And I mean, that's spot on. I really think things kind of shifted or started to shift when Jamichael Green got healthy.
Yeah,
I really do,
I agree.
Man.
That's a great point.
Ever since he's got in the lineup, he is just such a stabilizer for that unit, I feel like. And I mean, he had another big game tonight. Malone saying the bench chemistry has come with them getting more reps, getting more experience. He specifically said he doesn't want to have to play his starters 35-plus minutes a night every single game.
Yeah.
Malone also said he liked the defense tonight. I just thought Nikola had a bunch of nice plays, like as a backline defender. Because like the Knicks guards, they were still getting into the paint, I thought, at least in the first half. But I just felt like Nikola had some nice plays as a backline guy. On Gary Harris, I thought this was interesting. Malone, something I don't think he gets enough credit for, his off-ball movement. He compared Gary, and this lines up because of Gary Harris's background as a wide receiver, to kind of running a route with some of his off-ball movement and just creating space, creating opportunities for others. So he said he's opening up up a lot of shots. Sorry for his teammates.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even got to Gary, but I guess we can segue to him now. Actually, no, let's not. Let's do him in the second segment because there's more to get to on this bench. And I want to start with Monte Morris. Huge hat tip to the Altitude broadcast tonight.
Yeah.
Because they had an incredible stat that I was not aware of. And by the way, the stat, it wasn't about tonight. Tonight he had just one assist, zero turnovers. But Monte,
three assists I'm seeing.
Oh, you see three assists? Maybe I don't know how to read a box score. You're right, three assists, zero turnovers. But Monte is leading the NBA in assist to turnover ratio right now at 10-1.
Insane.
That might be it, like an all-time mark.
The insane part to me is that there's a one. It just seems like it's 10-0. Like, I don't think like he ever turns it over.
Well, it probably means he has like five turnovers.
So I looked it up. I think before tonight it was 33-3.
So then it's 36-3
now. 36-3.
That's incredible. 11-1. So this is, he's, and we know this about him. And look, it is a small sample size. He could rack up two or three assists and then be back down to merely a very good number. But, you know, this is what Monte has been. And we've talked about in the past, how can he get better? Well, I'll tell you a couple ways. Scoring more efficiently, not turning it over even less. We didn't even think it was possible. You talk about the limits of human achievement in basketball.
The limits of the human machine.
Of the human machine. But it turns out that assist to turnover, there is no limit.
There is no limit. Monte, the limit does not exist.
Monte Moore is proving it.
But he is who we thought he was. Like, he did that in college. Like, that was the reason that he did get drafted in the first place, is because of the way that he has the ability to run a second unit, for one. You knew that he was going to come in and be a backup point guard in the NBA for a long time, but he also just never turns the ball over. So he's doing exactly what we thought he would do from college.
Yeah, yeah. He's been the – last game you had a great line that the light is on him and it follows him. He's the only bright spot or whatever. It just keeps following him. But it is
on
true.
On that crummy bench.
But it is true. Like, he's done his job, and now – and he is just Mr. Reliable, in addition to being Mr. Nugget.
Wow. Well, first off, I thought we decided he was Sir Nugget. He's Sir Nugget and Mr. Reliable. No, Ariana did.
All right. But he was fantastic again tonight. 12 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 0 turnovers, 5 of 10 shooting. Jermichael Green, though, we need to move over to him now because he was that plus 24 tonight. 10 points, 8 rebounds, by the way. And those rebounds are big. I mean, rebounding has been one of the buzzwords for Denver so far this season. He adds a little bit of that. But the numbers, even though they don't pop off the page, 4 of 5 shooting, 2 of 2 3-point shooting, that's really good on low volume. But he's just a guy that does his job, man. And I just continue to be like, Monte Morris, Jermichael Green, let's start there. Baseline, going to be reliable and good. Like, those two guys, reliable and good. And now you're talking about some high variance but good players in like Campazzo and Hartenstein. But when you have two guys that give you something consistent, that really elevates you. So to that point, I do think that he's a big reason of why this bench has turned around.
What I love about Jermichael is he's such a classic role player. He has a really simple game, I feel like, but he's also pretty aggressive. Like, he gets up 11 shots in 20 minutes, but they're all shots and shots that like come out of actions that like show his strengths and weaknesses. He always plays to his strengths and weaknesses. He knows what they are. He doesn't like push his boundaries as a player. So he's like super aggressive in his role, I feel like, but he's never like pushing the envelope like unnecessarily.
He also is, like Monte, segues into different lineups really well.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this with guys like Campazzo, and maybe the stuff will even out for those guys, but I like Green with the starters.
He can kind of fit his game around whatever duo he's playing with. Right. You know, like if he's with Campazzo, like there's going to be a lot of pick and pops with him probably. If, you know, he's playing with the starters, he's going to like just crash the glass and bang inside.
Right.
So I really like that too.
Yeah, he's just good.
He's like, really good.
He's just good. Like, I don't think I quite realized like what we were getting in Jermichael Green. Like, I thought we were kind of, it was just sort of like a consolation prize. Like, we didn't get Jeremy Graham, we didn't get the guy we wanted, but like, you know, this is like a guy that like plays the same position. So it's cool. It's like, this dude is like a real difference maker. And you're right. Like, as soon as he started, I mean, and it's funny too, because one, when we declared that every Nuggets player was good in the preseason, he was the one player that wasn't good because he was
oh, yeah. He was like 0-5. Right.
He was 0-5. We were like, oh my God. But it doesn't matter. We got all these other amazing players. And then, like, as the season begins, the bench has absolutely no identity. Like, having that just absolutely rock solid player in there that you can always count on is like, it's so invaluable. Are we gonna drink this booze?
In a second. We're gonna break. Campazzo also, I think, deserves a mention because his defensive impact has really been felt, and this is an important game for him in this one way. The games that he has been good so far, he has made loud offensive plays. Like, the ball's been in his hand, he's run pick and roll. I don't think he made very many of those tonight, but he was still very impactful. And why that's encouraging is, it's tough if he has to be the center of whatever's happening. Like, it's just tough. But tonight, I felt like he fit in around what was working very well without taking away. And then his defense, you know, I need a bigger sample size before I can fully buy in. But what we saw of him in the preseason and what we heard from about him out of camp and from our friends in Europe that have watched his game is that he's so annoying and such a disruptor. And we're starting to see that. Like, he has a lot of those plays where he's picking up full court and just disrupting whatever it is the other team's trying to do.
Faku pisses everyone off. Every single game, he makes someone mad every time. Oh. And then once he came into the NBA, the knock on him was he was a passer and also he couldn't shoot. What we've been seeing is he's been shooting the ball well. And, I mean, he's still a good passer, but he's just doing the regular passes. He doesn't get attacked on defense as much as you would expect, as much as I would expect for him to have that type of size. He's disrupting, like, passing lanes. He's always everywhere. He's getting all of these foul calls and things of that nature that you just put him in to just watch things happen. Faku is a player that you just watch what's going to happen, and he's been doing that well.
He doesn't get attacked on defense unless a point guard has a personal vendetta.
Like Chris Paul. Well, yeah, I was going to say, he didn't get attacked one time.
That's different. He's going to attack anybody he believes should not have to guard him.
Yeah, but Chris Paul might actually, like, attack him in the parking lot.
I love Chris Paul. Two guys, if we take this down to negative town, just for a little negative town. Whoa. It's not even that negative. Isaiah Hartenstein.
Why are you talking about old stuff again?
Isaiah Hartenstein, 12 minutes tonight, he fouls out. And he is now, coming into tonight's game, he was averaging 8.2 fouls per 36 minutes. 8.2. That's going to skyrocket after getting 6 fouls in 12 minutes. Like, he's going to be up to 10 fouls per 36 minutes after tonight. And, guys, it's not surprising. Like, we've talked about this in the short minutes, and maybe Malone needs to put him in more or this or that. We talk about trust and earning it. Tonight, he got more minutes, and he got more fouls. Like, he's a really good player. He did that pass he had on the roll, grabs it midair, kicks it out to the corner, I think, for Jamichael Green. That's an A-plus pass for a center. Really, really good stuff. He has real talent. That's an issue now that has been consistent. It's not even like he's had good and bad versions. He's fouled in every time he's gotten minutes.
You see the ups and the downs with Hartenstein, because first, he is so well in the pick and roll with Monte Morris that it opens so many things up. So you have to keep him around. But then also, when you start thinking about, and this is the negative from tonight's game, is once you think about why Jokic is playing so many minutes, is because the backup center is also in foul trouble. How does your starting center have foul trouble, and then it becomes contagious where the backup center, the Smash Bro, is going to do it every single time?
Smash Bro.
Like, it doesn't make sense for the minutes.
I hate how accurate that goddamn nickname is. Like, so you said accurate. It, now I feel like he heard it. He's like, yeah.
Torrey Craig was Crash and Hartenstein is Smash. Like,
what if they were together?
No, Bash. They just Crash. The fouls would be like through the roof, man.
You know it's going to be Bash? Greg Whittington.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah,
I get the one Greg Whittington mention.
So Hartenstein, maybe the one semi-negative thing, but then again, he goes 3-for-3 from the field, grabs 2 rebounds, gets that great assist, a steal.
He looked actually really good until he looked terrible.
I think he's looked good in most games. It's just he looks good in 6 minutes at a time, because the Nuggets are in the bonus, and Malone's like, God damn it, I got to put Yoke back in.
So what do we think about the 5-man all bench lineup? We didn't see the stagger tonight, and like, if the Nuggets really want to keep Jokic and Murray's minutes down, that's one way to do it. Yeah. Don't have them stagger. Just play mostly with the starters. And we saw the all bench lineup. I mean, it was the Knicks, who I don't know how they were 5-4 coming into this game, but
they beat the Utah Jazz very handedly.
This NBA season is a little weird. That's really what it comes down to.
But I mean, don't you think that five that we saw tonight, the all bench second unit, that's what Malone wants to have work?
Because it has a power forward and a center?
Yeah, and also it can keep everybody's minutes down.
Right.
It's just the more traditional look. But I think in an ideal world, that's what he wants.
But also with that, the only reason that you can do that against a team like the Knicks is because they also didn't offset. They didn't have their starters attacking them.
Right,
they
right.
They also went to a 5 backup unit, so really it makes it easier to just clash both backup units and to get those minutes. You're not going to be able to do that against these other teams that are offsetting. So it makes it really difficult.
He really, what?
I'm talking to the commenters. You guys,
he's watching another show. Again.
All right, should we take our winner shot here? I don't want to, but should we do it before we go to break?
Oh God,
should Lock we? You. Before we drink, is there anything we can knock onto the floor with our mic?
I don't think so. Not tonight. All right, to
Zavelli.
Is that what it is, Zavelli? I forgot.
Yep. All Here's right. to the Knicks, and that's it.
That's good. Right.
Good enough. Good enough.
Oh jeez. Woo.
That burns.
It's so good. I love it.
Do I have to take
everyone honking like a goose?
Everyone flamed Dev for not taking the shot. Flame him appropriately.
Yo, you know what's crazy is that early.
I'm getting used to it. That one is not as bad as the previous one.
Adam earlier was like, maybe we should just take water. And I was like, nope.
Rocky,
we got to get that real burn. And wow.
I'm getting used to it already. Already, that was nearly bad. Not horrible. All right, Harrison, take us away, buddy.
Arena break. Okay. remind me in the second break, I'm announcing the winners to that snowboard glove giveaway that we did. So somebody remind me to do that in the second break.
Like, you'll forget.
I will definitely forget.
Check out the Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. You can pick it up anywhere, the farmhouse or local liquor store. The perfect beer to sip during a Nuggets game. We drink them here at the bar, so check it out. You can't miss it. It's in that Nuggets can. Also, Hassle Cattle Company. I am hyped about our partnership with Hassle Cattle Company, because now we get meat delivered to our front doors. It's pretty awesome. Hassle Cattle Company equals hassle-free meat for life. We brought you damn good beer. Now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassle Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu.
Oh, God damn it. Wagyu?
Wagyu. It's like,
it sounds like the pasta.
Wagyu. Wagyu.
Okay. I was going to say Wagyu.
It's a Japanese word, so it's right. Wagyu.
I think he did it on purpose.
Wagyu. That doesn't sound like a Japanese accent at all.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I've been in Japan. I'm well-traveled. These people are... It's delicious. It's Wagyu beef. It's the best there is.
Best there is. They've got everything. Smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, jerky flavors. They got everything. So check them out. HassleCattleCompany.com. HASSELL CattleCompany.com. Use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order. That's code DNVR10 for 10% off your order. Any orders over $200, you will receive free shipping. Check them out.
All right. So now we talked about the bench, which has been fantastic. Let's get to the starters. Usually we start with the starters, and that's, you know, the bright spot. But now here we are. Jokic, once again, merely a +8. 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block.
In three quarters.
He didn't play in the fourth. He goes 9 of 15. Like, Jokic just making greatness so casual, man. Like, tonight's game, fairly unremarkable by his own standards. Yeah, well, other than we have it, I think, queued up, Kale. We have the tweet. Like, this, he had one of the best Sambors we've ever seen. Well, yeah, that is the ugliest jerseys I've ever seen. Yeah, let's take a look at this Sambor here. I don't even know if it's a Sambor. There's no dribble.
Oh my God.
Half Sambor.
That's like a half Sambor.
Why would you shoot that?
Well, the clock's out, and he's just like, whatever, I'll just drain this one. And great. By the way, Mitchell Robinson, one of the best shot blockers in the NBA, and in particular, elite at blocking jump shots. Mm-hmm. You guys know this stat? He like leads the NBA by like double on blocking jumpers. But you can't block the Sambor.
No.
You can't block the Sambor.
It's literally unblockable. I dare you to try it. But bring in Bol Bol. He won't block that. Yeah. Nobody's blocking that.
Jokic, man, tonight. And you were worried about his rebounds because it took all the way to the end for him.
Yo, I was worried about his rebounds because I had a wager on the line that was wholly dependent on Jokic getting a double-double, which is the safest bet in the NBA.
100% right now, right?
He's got one in every game, yeah.
Jokic had 8 rebounds with like a minute left in the third quarter, knowing we all knew full well he was not going to play in the fourth quarter. And with like 10 seconds left, Jokic got a tip in to give him 22 points and a rebound to give him 10. It was the sweetest thing that ever happened to me.
No, this was something I noticed. It felt like the Knicks were making a little run in the third, and Jokic dominated the glass, man. Yep. dominated the glass, pulled in a couple of defensive boards, got on the glass for an offensive rebound and put back.
Yeah, here's the, but
just
the,
not, imposed
not,
his
when note. you're looking at it very, very closely, like your entire bankroll depends on it, just as a hypothetical. you'll notice that when he plays a dominating inside big like Mitchell Robinson, he will float around the outside to draw him out, which almost eliminates him from defensive rebounds. So then it came down to offensive. It was a whole story. Anyway, he did it. I love you. Jokic, you're the man.
But this is one reason that I think people don't understand Jokic's greatness, like the casual fan or whatever, because to your point, a lot of bigs, when they get a big shot blocker or something and they're known as a post player, it's like an ego thing. Like, well, this guy can't block my shot. And you go down there. And even if you get the better of him, you're not doing the thing that maximizes your team's opportunity. And Jokic tonight, you know, it was casually dominant, but it was also loud at times. Like, at times you were just like, man, this dude is silly good. But there was a lot of standing out on the perimeter because he knows that, hey, as long as Mitchell Robinson isn't in there, there's nobody to block shots or do anything. And like, he was out there all night operating. Nuggets were feasting. They get 114, but it could have been more. And that's what I think makes Jokic different than a lot of these other dudes, is he has an ego, but it's not that type of ego where he's like, I got to do it this way to show that. He's like, I don't care if people get this or not.
And that just shows his IQ, and that's what separates him from anyone else.
I know.
Like, tonight he goes 22-10 and what, 5 or something that? Yeah. And we say that it's not a good game and it's a down game, but that's the type of game that Jokic wants to play.
Right.
Because they came, first off, they won easily. He got to rest. And he also, it was lanes for everyone else. He saw everyone else get what they had to do while also taking over at times. Yeah. That's a Nikola Jokic game for him.
I think the last time we talked about Jokic spacing out to the perimeter a lot and taking a shot blocker out of the paint was when they played the Jazz in the first round.
Right. Yep.
He took a lot of threes in that series, getting Rudy Gobert out of the paint.
And again, if you're a betting man, like all of us here on the field, like, and you know that Jokic is going up against a dominating inside type center, take his three pointers. Cause then you know he's going to be floating around the outside.
So true.
You know he's going to be trying to draw the guy out, and how better to do it than by making that a credible threat so that the guy has to defend him outside of the arc.
DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen coming up. So maybe there.
Take those threes, baby.
Tired legs also. I feel like he would be like, you know, I'll just stay outside tonight, see if my three's falling. If I hit two or three of these, I'll feel good.
It turns out like he's like, I just didn't want to bang for me.
Let's go to more good news, guys. Gary Harris tonight. It's funny. If you were to ask me, if I didn't look at the stat sheet and ask me what his line was, I'd have been like 25 points, like 6 threes, two, you know, he had 14 points and 2 threes. Like,
but yo, his game, I mean, his game was, I would say,
very good.
Wholly complete. Like, he was making steals,
complete's
he was getting rebounds.
Word.
He was there were no moments where you were like, oh God, no eye roll moments at all. In fact, like, he was picking people's pockets. Like, Gary's back, baby. It's go time. And in fact, Mr. Nuggets has returned.
Oh my God.
Both people.
I'm not ready for that.
Mr. Nugget is back. All right, but the shot. What do you think, Dev? I mean, he's knocked him down in a couple games now.
I think that's the perfect Gary Harris game. And
it kind of is.
The thing was, what were Gary Harris's two first baskets?
They were at the rim.
He stopped doing that for so long, and that's why you started seeing people push back and he stopped making shots. So now the confidence is not there. Yep. When you get yourself going early, like, he scored quickly at the first basket of the game, it becomes easier. Like, everything with Gary Harris is confidence. That's the only reason that he hasn't been playing well. He gets open looks. He's still doing everything on defense. The only difference now is that he's scoring the basketball. So now you get to see how good Gary Harris is. He's always been the same defender, like, disruptive in the passing lanes. But now he's starting to score. That's a perfect Gary Harris game.
I think Gary's a guy where if he gets a couple nice drives, maybe a big dunk like he had tonight in the first quarter, that's probably going to like set him up for the rest of the game. If he feels comfortable in the first couple minutes of a game, I think he's going to just have a better game overall. I think he's one of those guys. He did have, I'll just have to say it, one of the worst floaters of his entire
career. He had a tough one.
I just had to
Don't take us to negative ground.
Of course, wind is particularly susceptible to the floater. I mean,
no, but seriously, man, like, his three-point shot now, we were talking about this as we were watching the game together. so much. Oh my God. And I'm watching him right now. Oh, he has a pink. I thought for a second he had like
shout
a
pink, out pink hoodie.
I thought he had a pink panda costume you, or something because it looked like it has ears on it, but it's his headphones. But Gary, I think, is a guy more so than just about anyone on the team, I would say, that is so much about confidence. And he's lost it. I mean, for good reason. It's been a struggle. But, you know, a couple games, I by no means think that his confidence is back to the swagger he had when he ran out of the arena after draining a three in Russell Westbrook's eye. I don't think that was like peak Gary Harris confidence. But I do think that every game, every compounding game that he hits shots, the it's like exponential, his confidence going back up. So I do feel like we're very close to Gary Harris having some of that confidence back.
Yeah.
Dude, it's back. It's back.
It's 100% back.
It's 100% back. He had one good game, and now he's back. That's it.
All right.
Gary's back, baby.
Should we take our last break here? On the other side, is Vogt, is he chiming in today, or does he have notes for us, do you know?
I will ask. He was in the presser, so
he's still in the presser? All right, well, why don't you take us to a break? I'll hit him up.
All right, sounds good. MSU Denver Online. We can't go to class in person, in most of the country at least. MSU Denver Online has been doing the online thing forever. They are experts at it. Awesome teachers, awesome courses to choose from. MSUDenver.edu/online is where you can see their entire course list. And what I love about their classes at MSU Denver Online is what you learn there, like you can apply to your job or just to everything you do outside of the classroom. Not all college experiences are like that. So check them out today. Also, we got Strava Craft Coffee. You guys can get a Strava Craft Coffee subscription for 20% off with the code DNVR20. Get your Strava Craft Coffee packed with CBD, which has been known to help cure long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, etc. Get that subscription for 20% off with the code DNVR20.
I just say, like, I solidified my standing as an old person where I attempted to change my own battery in my car and I hurt my back. little Strava Craft Coffee, honking like a goose. I'm right back, baby.
You're right back, huh? The car still broke, though, right?
Car is 100% broken.
We can't guarantee everything with Strava.
Strava makes no claims to my specific car, just to be clear.
All right, Brendan's going to be joining us in just a moment, guys, sharing us this. I'm sure Gary Harris, always a great interview. He'll share all of those key details, I'm sure. All of the quotes.
I hope somebody asked him about his pink hoodie.
About his pink, yeah, I'm sure nobody did.
Let me do the snowboard gloves thing really quick before we move on.
Let's go.
Rad snowboard gloves. Check these guys out. We're giving away a free Nuggets pair. This is going to Teddy Ted's 4 on Instagram.
No way.
Along with his buddies, Tratty Ice, Megan, Disroachers will reach out to you. Yeah,
is this the Teddy Ted's 4?
I wore those skiing 2 days ago and got compliments on
them
all day.
Is that right? Hear that? According to Super Producer Kale, gorgeous women were hitting on him on the slopes the entire day.
That might be the best sales pitch ever. Wow.
He said something.
I think that's what you said, actually.
You were fending off beautiful women left and right on the slope. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
But what he actually did say is that he was getting compliments on them all day whilst wearing them snowboarding. They're good enough to wear whilst snowboarding, and they're attractive to look at. And Teddy Ted's 4 and all of your homies.
Whole squad.
Whole squad ready.
Getting gloved.
Whole squad ready.
So the Nuggets went zone tonight. That's noteworthy. I think that some of this has to do with, you know, Michael Malone coaching against the zone. The players talked about this the other day. If you play a zone a whole game, a team calms down. They figure it out. If you throw a zone out there for a little bit, teams are just like, well, this sucks. All right, now we have to run our zono. I know this as a player. I love to get the ball popping. I love to run the actions that I love most. And if you run a zone, I feel like you could break it. I just don't want to play that way. It's boring. And I feel like if you play it for 2-3 minutes in a game, it just annoys teams. It throws them off their rhythm. And as long as you don't overdo it, and I thought Denver tonight did a perfect amount of zone. Just a couple minutes. It worked. Then they went back.
But you do it against teams that can't shoot the ball.
That's so true.
The Knicks can't shoot the ball. The Nuggets haven't been able to shoot the ball.
Right.
It's easily like, you know who's going to get zoned. Yeah. You're not going to see J.J. Redick get zoned. Right. Joe Harris is not going to get zoned.
Right.
You're going to zone against a team that does not have many shooters or consistent shooting. No. And it's going to throw him off. It's going to throw everybody off because now you're just like, how do we adjust to the zone? Now we're going to go back man. So now you just adjusted for no reason. It's just a different look throughout the game.
Yeah, the Knicks are the worst three-point shooting team in the league.
And that's not their cold right now. Like, you watch out who they – because that was part of it was you were watching them tonight and you're like, oh, yeah, Peyton's not going to jack threes. Like, Julius Randle hit one and I was like, oh, that sucks, but it was one.
Well, also to your point, Adam, it can throw you off, especially if you're like a super young team like super the young, Knicks yep. are who aren't really experienced. Their guards are so young. Like, you're throwing this at RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quick. Like, they're not going to know what to do. Against right. the zone, they're going to get frantic.
Who's their best three-point shooter? If you just had to just guess off the top of your head,
Reggie Bullock,
probably Bullock.
Austin Rivers,
noted three-point specialist Reggie exactly. Bullock.
They went 6 for 21 tonight, so the 21 jumps out at you, and then the 6 follows
remember
right behind.
Mitchell Robinson's Instagram this summer, he was making a lot of threes.
Oh yeah, oh Mitchell Robinson,
unlimited range.
same with I always think of Whiteside, Andre Drummond. They all have their
big
thing.
Guard.
Always at the yeah the, in the summer the IG post of like oh he God. Made 6 in a row. Like, all right. Oh, we do have vote. Let's bring him in. Brendan vote. Oh, wait. We can't hear him, Kale. Oh, we can't hear him. Can we hear you?
Can you hear me? You tell me.
We can't hear him. Nope.
You're a little.
It's just because the bar's on, Kale, so the volume of the bar is louder than
just talking.
What we're used to. Well, vote, it's good to see you. It's good to see the beautiful shirts again. We miss those. And we missed the presser. So what can you fill us in on the enthralling things that Gary Harris had to say after the game?
Man, if you were hoping for a excited, happy, vulnerable, available Gary Harris, nope, business as usual. He did not have much to say to it. But hey, you know, the last game he did acknowledge it was nice to see some shots fall. And the first thing he said after that was, I got to do it again tomorrow. And he did. So Harris is all about his business right now. But there were some great quotes from Monte Morris tonight. You know, he was asked if the second unit, you know, makes it a point, is vocal about this idea that they need to be better. He said, we huddle up before the tip-off every game. We say, let's go out there, be better than the other bench. He said himself, Jermichael Green, have really taken it upon themselves to be the vocal leaders of that second unit.
Love that.
As guys with NBA experience. And he also said that he loves playing with multiple point guards, that it's starting to come together, that he thinks it's fun, keeps the defense on his toes. So there was some real leadership with Monte. Heard you guys reference that assist to turnover ratio. And like that's what he's like on the court. And in a weird way, it almost describes just like
so
the player he is off the court too. You know, he's just about his business. He's that leader. And you know, taking care of the ball, taking care of his teammates, those things are more important to him than getting his own shot.
Dude, I've said this so many times. He is the exact type of person that makes every event better. Like, you go out with a group of friends, yeah. You know, but if he's there, everybody's on their game that night.
You're talking about Brendan, right?
I'm talking about Brendan, yeah, Brendan. But also Monte. He's Monte.
Yeah, if you go out with Monte...
Never been.
He not I never have either.
Actually, it's not true. I have been out with Monte one time.
Well,
the ping
okay.
pong. Well, the ping pong event. Right. Yeah. He didn't know we were out together. I'm calling it.
He's probably not having a good time unless everybody's having.
We were
a good
both
time.
On Earth simultaneously.
He was having a lot more fun than me. I'm not gonna lie. I was very uncomfortable and awkward. Sorry, did I take away from your point?
No, I just said my point.
Okay. So what else did you think, Vo, about that second unit tonight? Because it looked like the best we've ever seen.
Yeah, so much better tonight. I think Wynn brought this up before, but they were out there the full hockey shift, right? So just the five guys, and they played really well without needing Jokic or Murray. I thought a lot of it came from defense tonight. They really buckled down on that end. You know, there was a brief stretch in their first stint in that first half where they actually weren't scoring, but they were locking down. And at the end of the day, the starters came back to a double-digit lead for the first time. It feels like all season. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
So they took care of business. And like the Knicks are a team that's playing better than their reputation suggests, than their record suggests, than that score suggests. So that was more of a test on a second game of a back-to-back than it's going to look like in hindsight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we played the funky music in part because we needed it. We needed it.
This was our first legitimate win.
It is our first legitimate
this
win.
This was the Nuggets' first like complete four quarter effort, probably.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point.
Definitely,
which is,
right?
Which is funny because the starters left after three quarters.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's the best.
If you give a four-quarter effort, you only need three quarters.
That's well, the basic math. Starters,
you know, when they first came back in that second half, they didn't look that great. But that's the difference between a 15-point lead, right? And those guys coming back and having to sweat a 3-4-point game already like they do night in, night out. They weren't that great to start the third, but it didn't matter, right? That game was already sort of settled. And this is the dynamic Jamichael Green was talking about. I think it was just last week. The starters are good. The stars are playing quite well. Really, if the bench just goes out there and takes care of business, all of a sudden this is a formidable team again, just like that. And I thought we saw that dynamic, you know, the bench takes care of business. The starters come back up 15 plus 16, and they're not sweating it. And it doesn't matter that Jamal doesn't have it. So yeah. I just thought this was the best game of the season for sure.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody else speak post-game? I mean, we heard from Malone already, so Monte and Gary.
I think we're still waiting to hear from Jokic here.
Oh, really?
Time. Yeah.
He's doing his post-game workout, I assume.
I guess so. It seems like a joke, but that's what he does these days. He might just be pumping some iron.
Jokic the dunker.
Man, dude.
I mean, it's for real. Honestly, we had another. I'm surprised he didn't get a tech. Another tomahawk with a pull-up.
I remember Will Barton in the dunk contest.
Yeah, that wasn't so great.
Jokic could be in the dunk contest.
He could be.
You know what? Like, if we get a Jokic posterizing Gobert moment, like I may explode. That might be the end of Eric.
I predicted he would catch a body this year. I don't feel great about it because his dunks, as good as they've been, like the idea of him elevating over.
Somebody's gonna jump with him though, because he just goes after it. Somebody's gonna try to jump.
It's gonna be Gobert. It'll be the enemy.
Mitchell Robinson tonight.
I don't know.
Or at least if he had chucked up a floater, like Robinson's the kind of guy that can just snatch that out of midair.
Oh, that's definitely coming. I bet you the floater over like a guy who thinks he's going to block his dunk is coming.
Oh, sweet baby.
Can't wait.
The Knicks broadcast was very vocal about how, you know, they know that Jokic has lost weight. That's been the narrative. But seeing him in person, as we all know, it really kind of dawns on you. Like, wow, this guy's not just no longer in bad shape. He's in good shape, right? He looks at it in strong conditioning. So it's just made a major difference for him, as of course it would, as we all expected it would. But he looks like a different player in this type of shape.
Was it Walt Frazier still?
Yeah.
Did he have any good lines with the Joker?
His passing was overrated?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like that realization was lost on the 76ers announcers.
No, it was the opposite. They were lauding him all night long. They couldn't get enough. So it was a really
Go ahead. I was going to say, Walt Frazier always has the rhymes, right? And he always does them in pairs. So it's wildin' and stylin'. Did he have any good ones for Joker?
You know, I don't know if I caught any tonight.
Dang it.
I don't.
Frazier is a mint about drip. He's drippy. And I look at you and I see your shirt right
That's
now.
So
what
true.
Is on your shirt? Because I think everybody needs to know the type of drip that you have on right now.
Thanks, brother. I'm not really sure. I think these are some flowers.
I was eating Nerds earlier. These are stains.
They're stains. It was some new heat for me this Christmas. That's all I asked for. I got a sweet flower shirt from Brazil. My mom hooked me up with this one. So ready to bust it out when I make my dramatic return this week.
Well, thanks for classing up the show, Vote. We miss you, and I'm sure we'll get to see you soon. I know Harrison's out here in a few days. We're going to have to tag you in, tag him out. So
I got to say, again, I don't like you putting words in my mouth. I don't miss you at all, Vote. This seat, again, is much more comfortable than it even looks like on TV.
And do I really have to fill Harrison's shoes? I can't just come back. God, it's not like a lot.
You're gonna have to pick up the slack, man. That's how it's gonna go. We expect a lot of key details.
Right, you got to have mild takes, Vote. No bold takes.
Get pragmatic now.
All right, thanks so much, Vote, man. It was good to see anybody. We'll talk soon. The last thing before we get out of here, guys. The last topic. And Kale, if we could, I know you're switching that over, but oh, perfect, man. He's always on time. I don't even know why I remind him.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It's because it's so weird hearing that echo in my ear. But the last thing before we get out of here, Michael Porter's still a little ways away. So this is maybe a little premature, but we saw a bench tonight unit that made a lot of sense. We've seen a starting unit has looked good, really. The starting unit always looks good. And I put this stat out there the other day. The starters with Barton and Michael Porter's place, the 100th percentile for offensive efficiency. Isn't that wild? This is the best offense. That's the best offensive five-man unit in the NBA, according to Cleaning the Glass. Defensively, they're really bad. The one with Porter, again, these are all small sample size. This stuff will go up and down as time goes on, but has been the in the fourth percentile defensively to show you how much, you know, how that's where that one has struggled so far. But my question is, the bench looks good. When Michael Porter comes back, how does it affect things? Because they have a 10-man rotation right now that seems to be making sense. So where does Michael Porter, is he back in the starting lineup? Is he back on the bench? Who's out? Who's where? What do you think, Eric?
This is when people give you a problem like this, they like to say, well, it's a good problem to have. This is a good problem to have when you're dropping a potential 30-point scorer somewhere in the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that it is most advantageous to the Nuggets to put him and work him into the starting lineup so that they can be the ultimate death lineup in the NBA, and then put Barton into that second unit so that he's able to bring a little life there.
So who's out? Barton's out of the starter, so now who's out of the bench?
It's probably going to be PJ Dozier.
Yeah. Barton and Dozier are kind of similar players. I mean, Dozier, younger, so he's more spry. Barton, I think, smarter, can shoot the three more, although Dozier's been hitting the three. Dev, what do you think?
I think this is the easiest, like, answer back. Like, he's going to the bench. Michael Porter Jr.
Wow.
You just said the numbers. Why would you change something that's been working so well? Personally, I do not think that Malone wanted Michael Porter Jr. to be a starter in the first place. So now you get your opportunity to put him back on the bench, and now it's backed up with credible, like, numbers with it. You're like, hey, you have to go to the bench. This is, you had your chance. This is what happened. Now we went a different way. You have to get it. First, he's going to say you have to work your way back. That's just the easy thing to do, to, like, pat someone in the back.
By the way, it's going to be true. Going to be true, man. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. The Nuggets will be approaching midseason form when he gets back, and he will have been not playing for two and a half weeks.
And he hasn't played in however many weeks, and he's supposed to not have been, like, in a gym, you know, also.
Right.
So, he hasn't played for that amount of time.
Yeah.
As a shooter, it's
he's coming back and dropping 30 though. Whatever starter bench, whatever.
I just have a vision of the Nuggets where I keep talking about it. With the Jokic is able to choose either side. We have Jamal and MPJ flanking, and just either one of them, like whoever's open, is just going to knock it down. Like,
yeah,
and it just
they do to need me, to arrive there. You're right.
To me, it's like that is the deadly form of the Nuggets that gets them over the Lakers and you know, could actually legitimately contend for a championship.
Yeah, I think I agree with both you guys, actually, because the right decision probably is to bring him off the bench immediately.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a plan in place for him to eventually get back to the starting lineup, I think.
Right.
Because you guys know I've said it. This season, it's all about process.
Right.
It's all about the process of getting him on the same page with everybody else. So I'd be okay with him coming off the bench right when he comes back, but as long as the plan is for him to get back in the starting
I would
lineup.
Not at all be surprised if Malone says, hey, we're going to start off on the bench, but the plan is he's a starter. We're going to get him back. And then there's just no update. And we're all sitting there like six games in. We're like, now is it now? And
Malone's stock report, I mean, his stock report is wait and see. That's what he's going to say.
Hey, that's always
you've been doing okay. We're going to see if we could get you back in there. Right. We don't want you back in there.
Right.
You're doing good on the bench. We're doing great as the starters. This works.
I mean, you know, they beat the Knicks tonight, and yesterday they beat the 76ers with like four players or whatever. Like, I mean, maybe the Nuggets dominance, although the you know, obviously the statistics bear it out. Like, I don't know that it's so good at this moment that you can't disrupt it, the starters.
Can I tell you guys something? If you haven't subscribed already, you need to subscribe to Keep It at 1000 with George Carl and myself, okay? And you can even go back and listen to that first episode we did. We won't do another one until next week, but it's still pertinent, and here's why. One of the best notes he had in there, he talked about there's no home court. And he's a coach, by the way.
Yeah.
He coached with the home court and how you use it to your advantage in mind. And
it's so interesting to hear what he has to say.
Oh, it's so interesting. I'm telling you, these are the things we never thought of. Like,
no.
Some of the stuff he was talking about, we would have never arrived at this thought because you could only have come to that thought had you actually been in that environment for 50 years, which is what he had been.
And amassed 1,000 wins.
And amassed 1,000 wins, which is why it's Keeping It 1,000. But he talks about how early in the game, momentum compounds because there's nobody there to rally you back up. If a team falls behind five, and you see this at the Pep Center, home team falls behind five, everybody starts clapping like, all right, let's go. Let's get the momentum going or this, that. A guy makes a shot. You're down 10. Jamal Murray hits a three. The crowd's extra loud because it's like, here we go. This is it. There's none of that right now. Right. You have nothing but the deadness of an empty arena with a fake noise that is so fake and everything else. And you look at tonight, they get out in front 28-21 at the end of the first quarter. And immediately to start the second quarter, go on a massive run. They win that second quarter 31-17. I think this is exactly what he's saying. You have a 7-point lead to end the first, and then you immediately open it up with a big win. Mm-hmm. And now that home court Knicks team has nobody to get them going. All they have is a scoreboard that says they're down 15. And it's like, well, this sucks. And it's really hard to get back. So I think that's an insight. You should go back and listen to the whole conversation, because there's so much to that. That as I watch, I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Just to bring it up also, like I remembered, I wanted to bring up another point of his that I thought was really interesting from the last episode, which was that the idea of getting resting players actually hurts them because of the same concept of like building momentum throughout the season and building confidence and like,
and also adversity. Like it's tough. And I think the word he was using was tough. It hardens you.
Yes. And it's so funny. He was talking about like, yeah, like load management, how it actually, unless you're LeBron James, like actually hurts teams. Like, and we saw it bear out exactly that way with the Clippers. Like they weren't tough when the situation required it.
So. This is Kobe, man. Like, this was Kobe's thing, is like, he didn't always do the thing that was smartest or this or that, but he was the mentally toughest person on the court. Every game he was in, there was never, after maybe his fifth or sixth season, and like there was nobody tougher than him. And I think it was a lot of that, of like, it doesn't matter. Like, these little battles we might lose, but in the end, we're going to be ready for the war, because nobody is. And I think that's what he's getting at. So anyway, plugging my own podcast here, because last year we put it on DNVR Nuggets feed. Not doing that anymore.
We're not even on this podcast.
anything before we get out of here, guys?
My final thing is, look, Denver's 5-5.
Hell yeah. 500, we're back, baby.
500. Not a losing team.
Brand new season.
Two things with that. That helps you mentally if you're a player.
I agree.
If you're Michael Malone, everybody can settle down a little bit. Secondly, they've avoided like digging themselves a huge hole right out of the gate. They're right in the middle of the West. If you look at the standings, most of the West is like 6-4 to 4-6 right now. Most of the West is in that range. So Denver's right in the thick of it. I think they've really avoided like digging themselves a huge hole.
Yeah. Dev, any last thoughts?
We're going streaky. We are going streaking. We're about to run down Koufax. No clothes on.
Yeah, tell everybody that we're going to fit perfectly in with Koufax.
We do need to always be clear with Dev. Like, are we talking about clothes?
No, we don't need to be clear. We've already established this. I don't think
we might get a lot of people joining us.
We're on clothes on.
I was really hoping your point was going to be, don't worry, fans, the Nuggets are in good hands.
You know what? Tonight, the guy that called Dev from State Farm, said that you were looking good tonight.
Hey. Okay. Look at me getting some love right there.
Look at that.
Yeah. Whoa. See?
Enough, guys. He's.
They want me to go streaky.
Yeah. Eric, you got anything before
I wanted to look. Are we officially in the playoff hunt right now, guys?
I don't know. Yet? Let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. But we are 500, and you know what? The schedule does get tougher, but you know what? If you looked at the last four Nuggets games, they got five. They got four wins, and they have one overtime loss. Like they're definitely trending on the upswing right now. Still think they have to work out, but tonight there was nothing to work out. Tonight was an A-plus game from them, and it felt good to see it. So thanks, everybody, for hanging with us all night. Thanks for tuning in. Can't wait to see what Harrison's got cooking up for tomorrow. We got grades going on, and then, of course, a new addition to the list. Going up as well. So you're going to want to become a DNVR member. You're going to want to hit the subscribe button right there on the YouTube page. Hit the like button. We only have 165 likes.
That's hater free right now. Hater free. Man. We have zero downvotes. I think that has a lot to do with the Nuggets, less to do with us. Give us a like, bros. What's up?
We're back Tuesday, guys, with the Nets. Tuesday. Brooklyn Nets. Tuesday. Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see everybody then. Peace. Adios.
Right now is the time to apply and register for classes at MSU Denver Online. Spring semester, it starts January 19th. That's just 3 weeks away. Don't miss out. Time and time again, the one thing that protects you against economic downturn is an education allowing you to adapt into varying careers. Go and build your toolbox at MSU Denver. Why not have it both ways in uncertain times? Make money and work while you are earning your degree. MSU students can tell you all about it. They work double the hours while taking classes at any other school in Colorado. MSU Denver Online puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world right into the classroom. So check them out, MSU Denver Online. And MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs. And there's a lot of flexibility in there. So whether you're looking to go and just better yourself, learn about a subject you want to learn more about, or if you're looking to change careers and you need to get the needed requirements or just become more educated in a certain field, MSU Denver has you covered.